We were talking the last time I was with you about how God's word is a never-failing remedy. And we didn't finish. I only got to the first half of page one of chapter six in the book. Tonight I made it to the other half. Because I'm taking my time. I'm having a good time doing it. But let's look at Isaiah 55. And look at it quickly, and I'm just going to read it in a Message translation. Reads, just as rain and snow descended from the skies and don't go back until they've watered the earth, doing their work of making things grow and blossom, producing seeds for farmers and food for the hungry, so will the words that come out of my mouth not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. So we have to know, we have to get it settled, that God, if God spoke it, he's going to sit on it until it gets done, period. And those words are not going to come back to him until they complete the assignment that he gave them. And what excites me about that is that he sent his son. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Where is his son now? Where is that word now? It went back to him. So guess what that has to mean? It completed its assignment. It has to mean that it did the work that it was sent here to do. So when it says that with the stripes of Jesus we were healed, Jesus did the work that he was sent here to do, and now he's returned to the Father. So that has to mean, because he took stripes, so it has to mean we were healed. It has to, because if it doesn't mean that, then the word's not true. And we know the word is true. And then we read in Jeremiah 1, beginning at verse 11 in the Amplified Bible, where it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And he said, a branch or a shoot of an almond tree," which we found it's the emblem of alertness and activity. And we found out that the almond tree is the first tree that blooms, the last tree to give fruit. It blooms in early spring, it delivers in late winter. I mean, that's amazing. And God is using that to say he, just like the almond tree, he's watching over his word to perform it. It doesn't matter that it flowered in the spring. And because it flowered in the spring, you think you don't see any almonds, it must not have worked. No, it's not time yet, but the flower lets you know everything's in process. It's going to happen sooner than you think. So don't forget, think about the almond tree. Because that's what we have his word. His word lets us know it's going to happen. That's the blossom. So we just need to wait patiently for the fruit, knowing that the fruit is going to come. Knowing that. In Proverbs 4, let me get down to it. Proverbs 4, where are you? Here you are. Just reading the Passion Translation. It says, "Listen carefully, my dear child, to everything that I teach you, and pay attention to all that I have to say. Fill your thoughts," that Pastor Ed's been teaching about thoughts. He said, "Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then Once they've demonstrated deep into your spirit, as you unwrap my words, they'll impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. So that means we have to keep filling ourselves with God's word. And as our understanding of those words unfold, they'll bring life and radiant health to the core of our innermost being. See, everything that happens to us really happens to us from the inside out. What's going on your inside will show on the outside. I don't care how good you are at keeping a poker face, sooner or later, what's going on in you is going to show. It's just going to happen. It's going to show. So we have to get this word deep on our inside. Well, doesn't the Bible say, out of the abundance of the heart, our mouth speak? Doesn't it say, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life? So what's going on in your heart will determine how you're going to respond to what happens to you in life. What's going on in your heart is going to determine how you're going to respond to a physical attack, to a mental attack, to any kind of attack. It's going to be based on what's going on inside of you. If you don't have the word going on, quote unquote, inside of you, when something happens, the word is not going to come out. Some other stuff is going to come out. And it's not only will it not be edifying, it won't be health to your navel or marrow to your bones. And you'll find yourself in a worse condition than when you started. Not because God has abandoned you, but because we didn't do what the script said. We didn't attend to his words. It's not that we don't attend to a word. We don't always attend to his word. I shared with you last Wednesday. God told me last week I was attending to the words concerning hypertension. I mean, I was giving them a lot of attending. I knew everything there was to know. Everything you wanted to know about hypertension was afraid to ask, I asked. That's how much I wanted to know. And because I had all of that in me, it started to unfold in me, and I started responding to it. And guess what? I wasn't getting healed. I was getting worse because I was thinking about worse. I wasn't thinking about health. So we have to get our thoughts in order. We have to. It's really that critical. It really is. So we have to learn to be patient. And as I shared during Hour of Power, Jesus was able to endure the cross because of the joy that was set before him. Because that's what the scripture said. It said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and he despised the shame. Because of the joy that was set before him. Well, what was this joy that was set before him? A promise from God. A promise from God as to what would happen because he did what he did on behalf of man. And when he was going through everything that he had to endure, he was thinking about the joy that was set before him. He had a moment. We know about Gethsemane. He had a moment. But even in his moment, he said, no, not my will, yours. I am going through this because it's your will, and I know what's going to happen at the end. So, yes, I'm going to endure this. God has already said that he sent his word and healed us. So, yeah, we're going to go through these symptoms. We're going to do what we need to do, but we are going through because God said so. And more important, see, there's something even more important than God saying so. You know what that is? You are believing it. God said so, you believe it, done, finished. Have joy. Endure. Receive all that's yours. Jesus knew he was going to be in hell 3 days. But he knew after on the third day he was coming out. And while he was in there, not only was he going to lead captivity captive, but he was going to make a show of the devil. While he was in the devil's house. He turned the man out in his own house. You know, and he knew he was going to return to the Father. He knew that. And that gave him joy. And that's all he thought about. And that's why he was able to endure. Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to hear my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Means you keep looking at what God said. In addition to listening, you got to keep looking at what God said. You got to keep them in the midst of thine heart. You're meditating on them all of the time so they get down into your heart. It says their life to all that find them, and their health to all of their flesh, all of it. So if we're going to attend, you know, that means we're going to hearken, that means we're going to pay attention, to, we're going to listen and pay attention to all that God has to say. Especially about, well, not necessarily especially, but including what he has to say about healing. We have to attend to that. See, it's not that we don't know how to attend to things. We attend to the wrong things. You know, some of us have a, what do you call it, like a Martha spirit when it comes to healing. We'll attend to everything else. But we have to take the time to pay attention to what our Father has said about our healing. So we operate as those who operate from a point of knowledge. We know what we're talking about. We're not thinking, we're not guessing. We know. There is, I don't believe there's anybody in this room that doesn't know their first name. You know. You paid attention to it. You've responded to it. If somebody calls you something else outside of your name, you won't respond because that's not you. So why are we responding when a devil calls us riddled with cancer? Why are we responding when he calls us migraines, diabetics? Why are we responding to that? That's not who we are. But we haven't been attending to his word. See, we've been reading his word, but we haven't been attending to it. Well, what's the difference? Well, I read a newspaper sometimes, and then I throw it away. I don't go throughout the day thinking about and meditating on everything I saw in a newspaper. I don't. I read it, oh, well, yeah, that's nice. Oh, wow, that happened. Oh, I didn't know that. Finish, done, on about my business. And we'll sometimes treat the word the same way. It'll be a ritual. Just like people get up in the morning. Sometimes I don't even think these folks are reading a newspaper. I think they're just used to having a paper in front of them while they're drinking coffee. Just not a habit. And we'll get up and out of rote, wake up like, oh, it's 5:30. Time to read a devotional. Dum-da-dum. Okay, I read my devotional. What day is this? Okay, so today is the 17th. I know the day is not the 17th, pulling out a number. So that's Proverbs 17, and this psalm, and this scripture in the Old Testament, this scripture in the New Testament. Yeah, praise the Lord. Okay, yeah, I see that. Okay. Whoops, time to get ready for work. mean, that's... So I got my devotionals done. I did my Bible reading for the day. Okay. But you didn't attend to the word. We went through a lot of motions. We did a lot of rituals. We did not attend to the word. I'm not against devotionals. I'm not against daily Bible reading. Are we attending to the word? Are we meditating on it? Are we sitting down? And if I showed you the study guide that we're using as a basis for this, these classes, and showed you what I have to compare, you'd think it would take me 15 years to get through it. Because the way these books are these workbooks are constructed, they're two columns. You have information on this side and information on this side. Last week I did this side. There are about 8 pages in the chapter. 8. We did a half of page 1. Today we're doing the other half of page 1 of that chapter. The other half. And it's only one scripture in it that just arrested my attention. So I spent the afternoon attending to it. Finding out what it means. What does it do? I'm not in a hurry. Because what I want to get from it is everlasting. It's the rest of my life. So I'm going to take the time to find out. And that's what we need to do in addition to our daily rituals. We need to take time and attend to the word. I know nobody else did, but I always use the excuse that I didn't have time. You know, Lord, I'm busy. You know what time I get to the church, and you know what happens when I get there, and you know what time it is when I get home, you know, and yes, I have a wife that wants to talk to me and share her day and yada, 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 all the stuff. But then I realized that I hadn't watched Hill Street Blues in about 3-4 days. And I had all of the episodes on my DVR. I sit down, put my feet up, and watch 4-hour-long episodes, one after the other. But I don't have time to attend to your word. Okay. It's not that we don't have the time. We're using the time to do other things. And then we'll wind up paying the price for it later on and not knowing why or what's happening. That's why I'm telling you, folks, we have to. Proverbs said, my son, attend to my words. Pay attention to them. Give them first place. Meditate. He told that to Joshua. Meditate on the word day and night. Observing to do according to all that's written. Why should I do that? You'll have good success. You will make your way prosperous. We're waiting for God to do something that he said we'll do. The reason we're not seeing it done isn't that God doesn't want to. We're not attending to his word. We're not meditating on it day and night, observing to do it. We may study it to memorize it, but it doesn't say study it to memorize it. It says observe to do all that's written. And that's the place we need to get to, the observe to do part. Really, we need to get to the observe to do all. Not just the part that we like. Not just the part that fits in with our schedule and our routine. You know. But in Matthew 15, something God said about healing that we need to attend to this. Matthew 15, we're going to start at verse 20, read 21 to 28. I'm going to read it in the King James and in the Passion. It says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." But he answered and said, "I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." She said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table, which fall from their master's table." You need to underline that. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Passion Translation. Then Jesus left and went north into the non-Jewish region of Lebanon. What region? Okay. He encountered there a Canaanite woman who screamed out to him, "Lord, Son of David, show mercy on me. My daughter is horribly afflicted by a demon that torments her." But Jesus never answered her. And you just think about it. You say, wait a minute, we're talking about Jesus? Yes. And this woman was screaming to him for help. Yes. And he ignored her. Yes. He did. The disciples said, "Why do you ignore this woman who's crying out to us?" Jesus said, listen to what he said, "I've only been sent to the lost sheep of Israel." So obviously, she wasn't a lost sheep of Israel. So he ignored her. She's crying out to him, and he ignored her because he wasn't sent for her. He was sent for the lost sheep of Israel, according to what he said. But the woman came and bowed down before him. She came worshiping him and said, "Lord," what did she say? Wait, this non-Jewish woman referred to Jesus as Lord. And Jesus responded, "It's not right for a man to take bread from his children and throw it out to the dogs." "You're right, Lord," she replied, "but even puppies get to eat the crumbs that fall from the prince's table." Then Jesus answered, "Dear woman, your faith is strong. What you desire will be done for you." And at that very moment, her daughter was instantly set free from demonic torment. Now, you say, well, that's an interesting story. There's so much that that account lets us know that applies to us. Something fantastic happened here. It really did. And it gave an outstanding revelation about healing, and we have to get it. Too many of us are concerned with believing that healing or God's word concerning healing is for a privileged few. And you're sadly mistaken. What we read in those passages is that healing is the children's bread. It belongs to the children of God. It is. I mean, that's what the word says. And at that time, the only people considered to be children of God were the Jews. So basically, the only ones entitled to what Jesus was providing up to that point, even though the woman was crying out to him, he ignored her because he wasn't sent to her. And she didn't have a right to what he had. And the disciples would look, help her or do something. We can't take this screaming. Just do something, you know. And the woman came worshiping him. Folks, there's a key point here. True worship will always get Jesus' attention. True worship. The woman was worshiping him out of a sincere heart. And you'll find out in a few moments, and that heart was filled with humility. Well, how do you know that? Because Jesus referred to her as a dog, and she didn't go off on him. She didn't even dispute it. She said, "You're right." Okay. But during her worship of Jesus, she asked him for something. And he was nice. You know, he said, "A father doesn't take his food and give it to the dogs. You don't take it from, as a father, a good father, you don't take food from your children and throw it to the dogs. No, you don't do that." How many of us would stay composed if someone, especially someone that we were finished worshiping, called us a dog? You know, you come and you go into to pure worship and you're called a dog. But she didn't, she said, "You're right, Lord. You're right, Lord." This person just called her a dog. She called him Lord. "You're right, Lord." How humble is that, folks? She knew she wasn't deserving of the full meal. She knew she wasn't of the house of Israel. So what she was telling, she spoke the truth. "You're right. This is who I am. I can't do anything about that. I'm a dog." But even dogs are entitled to a crumb. That's what she said. "Yes, I'm a dog, so I can get the crumbs." And her faith was such that a crumb was all she needed. That's it. Even dogs can eat the crumbs that fall off the table. Even dogs. She didn't need a three-course meal. She didn't need any fanfare. She said, let me wait till Benny Hinn comes through. He'll lay hands on me. You know. No, she said, "A crumb. That's all. Everything you said is right. But I'm entitled to a crumb." Jesus said she had strong faith. What she did was, she had faith in the little bit that she thought she had. She knew all I had. My daughter has this horrible affliction. I have this little itsy bitsy crumb is all I need and she'll be well. Why are we looking for so much more than that and discouraging ourselves, thinking we don't have enough? She asked for Jesus. He said, "I'm not available to you. I can't give to you and not to my children, or instead of my children." And the woman said, "A crumb. That's all I need is a crumb. I'm entitled, as a dog, I'm entitled to the crumb that falls off the table. I don't know anyone, after a meal, they get on their hands and knees and they swoop up all the crumbs and eat those too. No, what do you do with them? You throw them away. Hopefully you don't leave them on the floor. But you sweep them up and you throw away. What others discard can set you free. If you believe it. What other folks don't want, you can take that and use it in faith and get everything you need. Amen. Everything you need, if you believe it. Because the power is in the believing. The crumb by itself doesn't have any power. But your faith in what that crumb will do makes all the difference in the world. And that little crumb didn't just heal part of her daughter. The Bible says she was, at that point, at that very moment, her daughter was instantly set free from demonic torment. Instantly. She wasn't Jewish. It didn't matter. She came to Jesus with sincere worship and genuine faith. And what he said was enough. Period. She got more than what she bargained for. And she really didn't need it. She was satisfied with getting the crumb. Because with this measure of faith, nothing is impossible for me. With this crumb, it's all I need to have the devil driven from my daughter. This crumb. That's it. Because of who the crumb came from. She had faith in that. And that's why it worked. If she did the same thing with no faith, guess what? Her daughter would still be vexed by an evil spirit. We have to understand, folks, and we have to get it settled. The Bible tells us, Paul wrote, "My God shall supply all your need." So if you have a crumb and you need more than that, guess who'll give it to you? God. God will. And you have to believe that. What I have is enough. But even if it's not enough, God will give me what I need. I'm going with what I have. Well, that's what God, he said, what do you have in your hand? What you have in your hand, if you give it to him. When he needed to feed those 5,000 people, 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, what did he have? What did they have? 5 loaves and 2 fish. Crumbs. And what did they do? They presented them to God and then started filling the needs of the people. And they never ran out. It's just the same principle. They never ran out. They were able to accomplish what was needed at that time because they had faith in what they had. And they used what they had after presenting what they had to God. God made sure it was enough. So you have a crumb of his word concerning healing. And you present that to God. Because that's all you know. You present it to God and you hold on to it. If it's not enough, God will give you what else you need. But the bottom line is, the end result is, you'll receive your healing. It'll manifest. Because you start off, this is all I have. To go, this is it. I don't know anymore. This is everything that I know. This is everything that I've been attending to. This is it. I'm presenting this to you, Lord. And I believe that this will take care of that thing. Period. You don't know whether God added to it or not. All you know, you see the manifestation of your healing. You see your need met. We don't even go back to God and say, how'd you do that? And it's a good thing we don't ask, because he wouldn't tell us, because if he told us, we try and do it. Okay. So what he does, his formula is, what you have, you present to him and believe. That's all you need to do. And when a time, don't see, we get thrown by those type of biblical accounts because it says at that very moment. And we say, well, I did that, and at that very moment, it didn't happen to me either. God never said that you will always be instant, you will always receive instant manifestation of your healing. But what he did say, you were healed. So, oh, for the joy that was set before you, endure till it manifests. I mean, that's saying, I don't do anything? Oh, I didn't say that. Endure. What did Pastor Clinton write in the song, and you'll take care of me? You'll take care of me? And while we are waiting, we will feed upon your precious word. So while we're waiting, we keep attending to his word. And as we attend to his word, he'll tell us if we need to do something else while we're waiting. He may tell us some natural things to do. You need to get 2 hours more sleep every night. let me tell you that. Instead of going to bed at 1, go to bed at 11. Instead of getting up at 3 a.m., get up at 6. You do what he says. You need to drink 64 ounces of water a day. I don't like water. He didn't ask you that. You're attending to his word, and his spirit says to you, drink at least 64 ounces of water a day. The response is not, I don't like water. The response is, you're right, Lord. You're right, Lord. Okay? And you start doing it. Stop eating cookies. Good Lord, I don't want to be on insulin. I'm tired of this, Lord. And I believe your word. I believe I've received healing from diabetes, and I will no longer need insulin. And you're attending to that word. And you hear, stop eating cookies. Don't eat so many carbs. Like, but I like cookies. More than you like you dislike taking insulin? You can have the cookies. See, it's not you can have the cookies or you can have, it's like you can have the cookies and diabetes or you can be healed. Your choice. Your choice. But while we're attending to his word, we're creating an atmosphere in our minds to receive, to hear from God, because all of our attention is on him. Her attention, that woman's attention, was on Jesus. She wasn't thinking about people who might hear him refer to her as a dog and be on the sideline laughing at. She wasn't thinking about any of that. She was thinking, my daughter needs to be delivered from this demon. And Jesus is the person that will do that. I don't care how much of him I get. Whatever I get is enough. Period. So he said, I'm not entitled to all of them. I'm entitled to the crumbs. Because he said, even the dogs, he said, that's right, I'm a dog. Dogs are entitled to crumbs, and a crumb is enough. Glory to God. But you have to attend to his word so he can speak what you need to do to your spirit. When you're attending to his word, it's like you're opening up a gateway where your heart to his mouth, so he can speak things into your heart and you receive them and you put them into operation. So we need to understand that. It can't be, you know, we're believing God for something and we continue to do the very thing that the devil used to cause the situation in the first place. And we grab worldly terms and say, I can't help it. I'm addicted. Where does that say? Where's that in the word? No, you're attending to what the world says happened. You're attending to the words of the world. You're not attending to what Jesus... The word of God says the name of Jesus is above any name that is named. So no matter what the world says, our immediate reply should be Jesus. Because Jesus' name is above that. And Jesus doesn't care how many stages it is. He doesn't care. He doesn't care if they put the word advanced in front of it. It matters not to him. What matters is, are you attending to the word that you heard? Are you using your faith based on the word that you heard? Are you operating in the word that you heard? Are you operating in it? What are you doing with it? Or does it remain words on a page that get pushed to the side just like the morning newspaper? There's so much that he showed me in that one little passage of Scripture. Jesus answered, "Dear woman, your faith is strong." What she believed was strong. And her belief was not based on how much she had. Her belief was based on what she knew she had. Or what she should be better said, her faith was based on what she knew she was entitled to. Because at that moment, she didn't have the crumb. She said, I'm a dog. I'm entitled to the crumb. Because I'm entitled to this. So I'm getting it. I'm entitled to it. It's the dog's portion? Yeah, okay. I'm a dog. Roof. Give it to me. I mean, that's okay. The word says, in the same passages, Jesus said, healing, I can't take bread from my children. I can't take food from my children. So what Jesus has, his children are entitled to. Why won't his children put their faith in their entitlement? You didn't think about that. This woman put her faith in her entitlement. I'm a dog. I'm entitled to a crumb. That crumb will cause my daughter to be healed. She was willing to just take what she was entitled to. She didn't get upset. All I get is a crumb, and look at them eating all this, and they don't appreciate it like I would appreciate. She didn't go there. All she knew, I'm not one of the children of Israel. He sent to the children of Israel. I'm a dog. I accept that analogy. But then that means dogs get the crumbs that fall off the table. So whatever falls off the table is enough for my survival. Why can't we do the same thing as believers, as children of the Most High God? Why can't we have faith in what he said we're entitled to? Period. Why are we begging for something that we're entitled to? You don't have to ask. If you're entitled to it, you don't have to ask for it. You don't have to beg for it. You just need to receive it. Why? You're entitled to it. It's yours. You can pick it up whenever you want to. We're asking for, we're trying to ritualize and spiritualize, which we're trying to get ourselves holy. We make these ugly faces and do all these things. You know, I'm not trying to be, if I'm being serious, we do all these things trying to move God to give us what he said we're entitled to. Jesus didn't do that. Oh, for the joy that was set before him. God already told him what he was entitled to. And all he had to do to get it was fulfill his purpose. And then it's his. Just like that. And he kept his focus on that. So he endured the cross. And he got what God said he would get. It doesn't matter that what he went through was called a crucifixion. The name didn't matter. It didn't matter how painful it was. It didn't matter how embarrassing it was. Because the people were saying some of it was true. He healed others. Why can't he heal himself? Because it wasn't part of God's plan. He had to endure it. Why? For us. He had to endure the shame. Why? So we would never have to be ashamed. He bore it for us. All the names we get called, he was called. And he endured it so that it could roll off of us. Why are we putting stick them on our bodies so those things stick to us or we become affected by it? We become emotionally scarred because someone made fun of us. That's nonsense. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. That means we're entitled to have a sound mind. He said, everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds. So why are we getting mentally sick? Why are we allowing that? We're entitled to a sound mind. Why aren't we putting faith in our entitlement? Because that's what God's word does. It lets us know what we are entitled to. We have to believe it. And then we have to act like we believe it. And if we believe it and we act like believe it, guess what comes next? We have it. How long? See, you don't understand your entitlement if you have to ask that question. If it's yours, what difference does it make? That's the attitude we need to have. Because if you don't have that attitude, folks say, well, I thought you said you were a believer. How long have you had this thing now? Well, God must be mad at you. And if you haven't been attending to his word, you'll start thinking, yeah, it has been a long time. I listen to folks. They say, I've been dealing with this pain for 5 years, 6 months, and 42 hours. Folks, When were you first diagnosed with high blood pressure? I have to sit back and think about it. Let me see. It's not right on the tip of my tongue. Why? Because I'm not thinking. I've had to deal with these symptoms for X amount of years. Whenever it began, I didn't know then what I know now. When it first happened, I wasn't even a child of God, so I didn't even have an entitlement. So it had a right to come. Now I know it doesn't. But I also noticed some natural things that opened the door. See, our entitlement is, it's not a guarantee of blocking natural things that we do that are detrimental to the health of these bodies. Because we have that entitlement, the Holy Ghost will tell us, stop doing this, stop doing that. You need to do this. You need to do that. And then we have an obligation to heed what he's saying. If not, stuff will happen. And you can call on the name of the Lord all you want, but if you keep rebelling against what God through his Holy Spirit is telling you to do, you're going to have a face-to-face conversation with him sooner than you were supposed to. And that happens to too many people. Let me see if I can finish. So that woman wasn't Jewish, but it didn't matter. Because she came to Jesus with sincere worship and filled with faith. And his words to her, while some may thought might have been derogatory or strong, she received it as an entitlement. Yes, I'm a dog. I'm entitled to the crumbs. And that's all I need. So she worshiped him, and she refused to let go. See, if you're born again and you've received Jesus as your Savior, so healing belongs to you. I mean, it belongs to us. We have a right to be healed. We need to know that. But this may shock you. Acts 10:38, yeah. Says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went around doing good and doing what else did he do? Healing all Christians? Oh, healing everybody of the house of Israel. No, it said healing all that were afflicted by the devil, whether they were entitled to it or not. If they believed they could receive it from him, they got it. Amen. So why would we, as children who have the entitlement, think that we're entitled to something less than that? If Jesus will heal a heathen who believes, why wouldn't he heal his own children? When he said, it's not right for me to take what belongs to the children and give it to the dogs. So if he went around healing heathens, then of course he's going around and he's already, see, the heathens need healing. We've already received our healing. And we need to understand that. So when your knees hurt, thank you, Lord, that I'm healed of this affliction. Thank you, Lord. Your word says, with the stripes of Jesus Christ, I was healed. So that means, whatever it is, I'm healed of it. Period. I may have to endure some things. The Passion Translation said Jesus of Nazareth was anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and with great power. He did wonderful things for others and divinely healed all who were under the tyranny of the devil, for God had anointed him. So Jesus was anointed to heal everybody. Whether they were born again or not. He didn't discuss their politics. He didn't do that. He's the Word of God. I started off telling you this. He's the Word made flesh. And he dwelt among us. Why? So he can make us aware of our entitlements. And when he completed everything that he was sent here to do, then he returned back to his Father. Why? Because he was finished. The Word did what the Word was sent here to do. What was he sent here to do? According to the Psalms, he sent his Word and healed them and delivered them from their transgressions. Period. We were healed. We have more available to us than dogs. Amen? Amen? Give God a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Attend to his words, folks. Pay attention to his word. Meditate on his word day and night, observing to do all that's written. Stop being dishonest with yourself and saying things like, I don't have time. We have time. We're just using it to do other things. I don't know who said it, but it's been a saying where I say the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. the word is the main thing. Because we're children of the King. We've chosen to live our lives according to the word. So the word is the main thing. We have to keep the main thing the main thing. And attend to it. Amen.